Randy Eccles from NPR Illinois, 91.9 UIS, and Community Voices. Today, our guest is Jeremy Bailey. Jeremy, thanks for joining us. Just for folks who don't know, you've helped us out in the past with our Podcast Academy, PodCamp, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
First of all, thank you so much for having me. This is a huge honor. I hope that other people my age, my demographic, are dialed into what NPR is doing because it's very important to me and to my everyday life. So this is really rad to be having this conversation. Two, Community Voices, super inspiring. There's so many people that I want to get to know that I don't have time because I, one, don't make myself readily available because I'm in this little bubble. And two, I get to live vicariously through you. So this is awesome that I get to enjoy all these conversations. A really quick cliff notes. I'm a local podcaster. I've been doing this since 14, handful of radio experience before that. And I was like, I'd love to do this independent thing. I failed hard a lot. And then I found an audience. And podcasting has changed my life. And it's really rad to see all of this moving right now, especially in the pandemic, because everybody and their brother wants a podcast and sister rather, and everybody and their brother and sister should have a podcast because you all have something of value to add to what we're doing right now. I think there's going to be a hole in content really, really quick, probably about 30 days where there's no movies, there's no TV, and people are going to need something. And it's really rad to be able to gravitate towards your Community Voices because we can have new conversations with different people and learn. And even if these people that are coming up with podcasts, we can learn about what they're stoked about. And it's just, it's all about community building. It's awesome.
You're here in Springfield. Are you a native?
Yes. Yep. Born and bred. I've been here 35 of the 36 years. I was only gone for probably 6 months in between different times. Yeah.
One of the things we like to talk about is why people stay or come. What has kept you here in Springfield?
At 36 years old, I'm here because the city has given me a life, a beautiful life. I honestly feel at this point I'm living in a video game or a simulation because things are so much drastically different. And I've seen different versions of myself. Born and bred here, lots of challenges. Everyone has their own unique walk. I didn't invest in myself as one should have, educationally, personally, and that really didn't lead to any type of progress. Once I did, there are many, many doors that open I didn't realize. A friend of mine, Tiffany Mathis, she introduced this to me, a social broker. Essentially, I used to be really nosy, and now I'm still just as nosy, but the leverage isn't to help myself or to live vicariously through someone. It's to find out how I can add value to their life and how they can add value to mine. I have this beautiful experience of being here for 35 years, getting to know not just the mail carrier or the janitor or the man that works in my car. These are people that have families and passions. And when I need something, I can make one call or connect one person that knows another person. And it's beautiful to have that type of network. And you don't get that without really investing in your community.
One of the things that's come up in every interview, so we might as well hit it, is how are you coping with coronavirus?
This is the best version of my life I've ever had a chance to live. And I've also invested a lot. I mean, I've spent my entire life trying to get here. And that being said, we have a bubble that is nurturing, that is safe, and that it's so, I want to say, comfortable that we're able to help others out. We take care of our business in the house day to day. The wife's working from home, way super fortunate to do that. I'm always out and about doing different marketing activities because that's the lifeblood of what I do. My son actually goes to a daycare locally, so that's his school. I'm not going to say business as usual because we have definitely adapted our lives. I mean, we go hike every weekend, something I didn't think I'd do, but my son has tons of energy. So I've got to get that kid either running in a park or running through a nature reserve. And we do that. But whenever we're around people, which we do, we wear adventure mask. It's just, it's rad to be able to still go to the farmer's market. It's great to still be able to go to our favorite places like Custom Cup and things like that. But you just got to be really careful about what you're doing. You know, there've been a couple scares, but we are being as practical as we can, but we also don't want to shut life off completely. So it's a delicate dance. It really is.
What do you think can be done to help the community be safe and hopefully recover more quickly?
Well, I had a beautiful conversation with Alderwoman Doris Turner about this. I really look for people that have spent their entire lives in a field, and then I want their opinion, and I trust it because it just has so much credibility. I asked her, you know, what's the biggest threat that you've seen? And she said the coronavirus, and that really shook me because it affects so many demographics. It's a great equalizer. It affects everyone. Her main thing was wear a mask, wash your hands. And it really shouldn't be that much of a big deal. I mean, as I said, with my son, he's 2.5 and we wear adventure masks everywhere that we go. And we have like 5 or 6 and we're always rotating them out. It's a part of life because we don't want to give and we don't want to get anything from anybody else. So I really feel that those 2 simple steps, well, 3 rather, just your social distancing, your adventure masks, and making sure that you have great hygiene.
So those things hopefully are helping us, even though we're going through a period of time right now where there's a new bump in things. You were mentioned earlier when you're describing yourself, you talked about passion. Clearly you have a passion for podcasting and life. Is there anything else that's a core passion of yours?
I don't think my brain worked 100% until I turned 26 and I started an art program at Lincoln Land. I never realized that there were so many tools around me to make art. So I would say my entire life right now is dedicated to art, whether it's photography, videography, music, editing, anything. It's just, there's like a little door that was unlocked, and there's a fine line between passion and obsession. And I'm trying to change that part of my brain, even when people, and here's another one. There's a fine line. These 3 crazy brothers, there's passion, there's jealousy, and there's inspiration. And we've got to look at, oh God, how did that person build that thing? Or how do I build that thing? And how do I make it as awesome as theirs is? Or how do I build something I'm proud of? So they're crazy, crazy cousins. And I'm really into art right now, mainly photography. I love doing portraits, but then I also love making videos. So it's bonkers. My brain is like a kaleidoscope of art.
If you could make something happen in the next year, what would you work to make happen, either for yourself or to help the community?
I really want concerts back at Dumb Records. There's just a beautiful scene of people that we're all misfits, right? We're all on the island of misfit toys. And I don't mean that negative. I don't mean that at all. We all have something that we're insecure about. We all have something that we feel a little weird about. But when you walk in that place, it's gone. Brian and Jeff, because I want to make sure that I give credit where credit is due. Brian and Jeff and the entire team at Dumb have made this beautiful utopia of things that you can do. And they're doing everything they can to keep other parts alive. I hate to say that you don't know that you're in a bubble until it bursts, but Southtown used to have something truly beautiful. It was the only place that you could write, record, promote, sell, and play your own music. I don't know if I'll ever see something like that in my lifetime ever again. And it's just beautiful to know that someone from any walk of life can go in and hear a beautiful song and see art being made and bands can record. And it has a special place in my heart. So I would love to see shows come back. And I mean, that would be shows everywhere. It's just with Dumb being so close to my heart, that was the first one that I thought of.
Is there a person who's a little bit unsung who is making life better in the Springfield area?
Ashley at Flow Yoga, as soon as this thing hit the fan, she was doing online yoga classes, just Facebook Live before Zoom even popped. And for mental health, it's paramount because it's meditation, it's guided yoga. It's beautiful. She definitely has a big part. I'm singing Brian Galecki's praises because he's like my brother. I love him so much because they have the pinball tournament just flipped everything upside down. And the fact that we could all be a part of something and we could all enjoy something and come together. And it was like a bar without the alcohol. It was where people wanted to be and where people could mingle and they did it safe. Aaron Svenenson from the Springfield Art Association, they are rocking it right now. I got a chance to talk to her about her camp that they had pre-art fair, and they had 650 kids that were in their camp and nobody tested positive for COVID. And these were kids of healthcare workers. So in my opinion, if anyone was going to get it, it's the children of healthcare workers. And they're making these maker kits. They're art boxes. You can get it from them for very affordable. You can make art at home. And it's the same thing they would do there. But you're making art art at home. And there's so many other musicians that we were talking about earlier. There's so many musicians that are offering these sessions. I have absolutely no problem putting $25 on somebody's PayPal because right now I can afford to do it. I could never afford to do it before, but I can afford to do it now. And if I want to hear you play, I gave Joel Warman like $25 to play his version of Mr. Brightside out of his bedroom. And I don't care because I know that you guys need it and whatever I can do. Here's another unsung Brian Riley from Cured K. And his staff meals. That blows my mind. Scott McFarlane from Springfield Families Helping Families. There's like 15,000 people on that thread. Just who needs diapers? Where's the pantry at? I know that I'm leaving some people out, but those people are very near and dear to my heart.
Tell me a little bit more about the podcasting. What's your theory behind what you're doing? And it's grown. So tell us more.
Well, the whole thing started with an interview from QLZ. I used to have a local show, and I got a chance to interview Gavin Rosdell from Bush. I am mentally peeing my pants through the entire thing. It was about 8 seconds from, do you want to do this? You're going to do this. And it's happening. The whole time freaked out. I recorded the whole thing on my iPhone. I was headed towards the end of my interest in the larger brand. So I knew I was going to do something. He treated me like I worked for Good Morning America and he had no reason to talk to me. And it was just, oh my God, if this person that I've never met has no tangible reason to be kind to me, but is, then there's no barrier to talk to people from my neighborhood. And it also came out of this idea of, I wonder how that person's doing that. I wonder how they got to that level. What are the obstacles? What are they doing? You know, is that three cousins that I was talking about before, the inspiration, jealousy, and passion. It's like they're passionate. You can either be jealous of them or inspired. Pick one. And one's really healthy and one's not at all. And that led to these beautiful conversations that I had. I just started putting an iPhone on a table and then an iPad, and I started interviewing these people. And there were like 8 downloads on, I was going to make a Spotify joke, but there were 8 downloads on SoundCloud. There we go. Yeah, I started on SoundCloud, 8 or 9 downloads. And then I started reaching out to all these people and built a website. And it grew from there to the point where I don't want to give the number, but I will tell you this, that it's mind-blowing and it's impossible to calculate that amount of people that care about what you are doing. And the only reason why I can justify that is because it's not what I'm doing. It's me talking to other people, finding out what they're doing and what they're passionate about. And it's bonkers that I have an opportunity to interview these people that are, because the whole platform of the show, I'm not sure if we mentioned that, is it's hometown heroes. That's really all it is. It's just packaged different. Lincoln's Legends, hometown heroes. How did you get to where you are? And these people are working on a national level. It's so rad to even talk to, and I don't mean to throw them under the bus, but people from the tourism the Tourism and Convention Bureau. I'm like, did you know that every year Mattel flies out a kid from Springfield to go to San Diego Comic-Con to talk about Masters of the Universe toys? Did you know that when Kevin Smith announced that he was directing the new Masters of the Universe series on Netflix, that same person from Springfield was like the guy that moderated the panel? I'm like, this is how like we celebrate how beautiful we are. I mean, there are so many artists and activists, and there's so many people that are from here that are working on a national level. They've been so receptive. It's amazing to know they still have a connection. They're still proud of where they came from. I got to have a chance. I got to have a conversation 2 weeks ago with Lion-O from the Thundercats because he's from Pekin. In what world? And he's the voice of Count Chocolate. In what world is that me supposed to have a conversation with Lion-O from the Thundercats? And I'm like, this is so rad. But again, it's just because they're so excited about, oh yeah, it's my community building and my way to give back and my way to inspire people. So it's just, oh, it's beautiful. I've been doing it since 15, I guess. So 14 or 15. I don't know. It's a couple of years. It's at least 3, right?
Have you seen the Next 10 program that the Community Foundation for the Land of Lincoln just came out with?
I have not.
It's basically a visioning idea process. They're looking for the ideas for the next 10 years, 10 months, whatever, that are going to make Springfield stronger, or the greater Springfield area. It reminds me of what both of us are trying to do, and I think a lot of people, is to reinforce the positive psychology of Springfield. Coming from Chicago originally myself, Springfield has a negative connotation because it means dysfunctional state government. But if you're down here in Springfield, there's all kinds of positive things going on. Like you talked about, the art scene, the university, the lake, a great downtown, people who are doing amazing things. It's interesting to see that you and others are trying to reinforce the idea that this is a really dynamic place, which it is. Is there something I should have asked you that I haven't and you'd like to tell us about?
I'm really focused on mental health, this iteration, this season. It's just, it's so poignant for where we are now, because before the pandemic, I shot all these episodes and I had a really strong season and I went into it going, okay, because I paused production for a little bit. I learned how to be a dad, still am. Learned how to be a really good husband, still am. But I paused production to figure all this out. And I was like, I don't want my child to not know what it is that I absolutely love. Because if I cut a part of myself off, then it's almost like I'm resentful. And I'm like, hey, I'm this different part of me. Or I could figure out how all of these working, how all these parts work together. Now I'm really pumped to say, hey, bud, it's going to be, you know, I'm going to have you hang out with mom for a little bit because I'm going to go podcast, or I'm going to go make art, or I'm going to go do this. And now it's in his vocabulary. It's like, dad to podcast, dad to make art, dad to do photography. I want to be that guy. I also realize that when I do this, for me, it's for my own mental health. I get to, whatever my kid wants to be, I get to encourage him to be himself, whatever that means. And I know that being an artist is a part of me being me, and me being a podcaster, me being a photographer, me being an artist. Like, it's what makes me tick. And I was having this conversation with a buddy of mine. It's like, how are we supposed to be solid role models for our children if we're not true to what we want to do and who we are? I had a huge debt of gratitude to locally Jason Lee, tattoo artist, person first, tattoo artist second. I was in a kind of a mental transition period where I was working for somebody and I thought it was what I was supposed to do. I was still doing the podcasting, but I'd paused it because I was like, I got to figure these pieces out. And then I'm going to get some art. I'm going to get some ink, and I'm going to step out and make sure that it's a bold statement. It's not like graffiti or anything like that, but I want to make sure that this is what I want to do. And this is a part of me. And as soon as I got that and I sat in the chair, I was like, wow, we have to be mentally strong to have visible art because people are going to judge it. But we also have to know that we stand behind the reason why it's there. It's bonkers because my kid learned part of his colors from looking at a color spectrum from my arm. So like, he will not have a negative idea of people with ink. And I was still holding on to that baggage, right? You know, some people have negative ideas. And that led me to start this new iteration of the show. And with me doing it, my first email to people was, hey, how are you? I want to know what makes you tick, how you mentally navigate through a day, and how you get through it. Going backwards to where I can just put this content out now, it's just absolutely perfect because people do have much more of a burden right now and things are more stressful, but it's still great to hear these people open up and say, yeah, the world was on fire for this moment, but I evaluated what it was and I got through it. Or I went on a bender, but I figured out how to get back and how to piece that puzzle back together. It's just amazing for me to be able to learn from them and kind of navigate that walk with them. And then now we can share that with others. And it's just one of the most rewarding things I've ever been a part of.
Jeremy Bailey, artist and podcaster of Lincoln's Legends. Here is a Bailey bite of his podcast with Tiffany Mathis.
Coming up on the show, meet mother, mentor, and CEO, Tiffany Mathis. The Bailey bite starts now. What's up, everybody? It's Bailey. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey. This is the Bailey Bite. Our guest is the CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Central Illinois. She's a school board member, and more importantly, she's an advocate for our community. This conversation is an excerpt of the latest episode of the Lincoln's Legends podcast.
How do you navigate that? How do you navigate that from a mental health standpoint?
From a mental health standpoint,
how do you say this is going to be worth it because you don't know going into those things. I mean, you just said that I may never get this opportunity again. And it's not like a Netflix show that you can just watch again. This is a legitimate opportunity that can create opportunity for other people, like you said, or it can open more doors for you. How do you mentally, I mean, that's heavy.
Well, it is heavy, but also I kind of look at it the way you talk about talent, right? Like everybody can't sing, but I got friends that play 20 million different instruments, like it's nobody's business, but they can't sing. So what I have also realized is what looks crazy to other people is manageable for that person. I have had girlfriends who have 5 and 6 kids. When I had my third, I was like, oh my gosh, okay, we're gonna have 3 kids. That's gonna be kind of crazy. And one of my friends was like, oh, if you can have 3, you can have 5. And I looked at her and I'm like, what are you talking about? That's crazy. But what I realized after I had the third was there's like a realm that you enter into of you go from perfection with the first one, everything's pretty manageable with the second, to I just wanna make sure that everybody's breathing when they wake up in the morning. Like, you know what I'm saying? You kind of loosen your grip a bit. So I think that over time, because I understood that there were always going to be a level of expectation that I had to meet. It doesn't matter what it is. In the simplest of things, I've had to do more work than other people that in the same situation haven't had to do the same amount of work. So I could either be upset by that and stay mad or just realize like, okay, Tiffany, in order for any of these things to happen, you need to accept that it is going to be super unbalanced and is going to feel super unfair, because it is, but it's necessary if this is what you want. So it's like, okay, once I stop being mad about it, and I still have my moments, but once I was over, why am I working harder than everyone else? And started going like, find joy in working hard and find joy in clapping for yourself. Because I think that's something else that people have to learn is that everybody's really not happy for you all the time and they're not going to be, and that's okay. So you have to, the things that you're doing have to really internally make you happy and motivate you. And it's really exciting for me when, you know, even in the smallest of accomplishments, I'm like, oh yes, this is great. Cause this is going to build in to lending some credibility or legitimacy to something else that hopefully I can do in the future. And I also, you know, going back to when you asked me about, you know, navigating success, I also let go of the fact that what I wanted or what I see for myself actually even has like a navigatable path. Because what happens is what seems like it should be a straight line or maybe a couple turns and I'll get here, it never works that way. So when I stop getting upset about the interruption of the path and a door closing or some random door opening, I just realized your success really is just based on a series of choices that you're making. You know, like an opportunity presents itself. You say yes, you say no. But there, the path is so unknown. I couldn't have told you 5 years ago this is what I would be doing specifically. But what I committed to was leadership, period. Like, I just want to be of service to my community. I want to be of service to the youth that I work with. And I want to leave my community in a bit better shape than I found it.
Thank you so much for joining me on this journey. If you're a fan of what you heard today, more episodes are available in your favorite podcast feed or at lincolnslegends.com. Keep Lincoln's Legends in your feed for updates and be excellent to each other.
Artist and podcaster Jeremy Bailey with a sample, also known as a Bailey Bite, of his program, Lincoln's Legends. You can also find links on nprillinois.org. After the break, Rachel Rombach shares how she copes with coronavirus by clearing out. This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.